I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Jordan joining us now here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, let's just talk about the importance of this win, not only getting the 3 points, but scoring some goals, and how it was a pretty uplifting night this past Saturday at BBVA Compass Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first and foremost, I mean, the energy of the crowd was excellent. You know, the guys put so much into the game. I felt like we could have started the game a little bit better, you know, but Montreal's a good team. They're very dangerous on the counter. So the coaches did a good job addressing the way they play to be prepared for that. And I think the early goal really helped us. Great service from Brad and a great finish from Giles. And I think once the second half got going, we found our rhythm, and the guys that came off the bench are the ones that really brought the energy to turn the tides.
All right, let's talk about the importance of that goal in the 15th minute, because it is against the run of the play, as you mentioned. Montreal's getting a lot of the ball, and the Dynamo put an exquisite set piece together with Giles Barnes glancing in the header. But the timeliness of goal is so important, huh?
Yeah, you know, they, like I said, Montreal, they're so dangerous on the counter with Piatti, with Romero, with Duca, even McInerney's good on the counter. And they started the game very well, but I think that when we got the first goal, it helped us to catch our breath a little bit and gain confidence from that.
Dynamo GM Matt Jordan joining us here. Hey, there's a lot of players on both teams that you were a part of signing, so it must have been an interesting night for you.
It was. It was a very there was a lot of mixed emotions, you know, because I put so much work into helping put that team together and helping build that team. I mean, no one's happier than me for them and the run they're making in the Champions League, but. You know, obviously, you know, I'm thrilled to be here and, of course, thrilled to get 3 points against any opponent. And I'm thrilled at the way the guys came out of the game and the way they performed.
All right. You've been high on Rob Lovejoy, part of bringing him here and drafting him. This is the first ever season the Dynamo have drafted or signed all their draft choices. You guys allowed him the rope to fight through it against Colorado, improve performance in the second half there. And then he comes on and I guess we have to say really did change the energy of this game.
Well, listen, I'm a big believer in succession planning. I think that's very, very important within the framework of building a roster. And what I like about Rob and what we like about Rob is that he plays every game like it's his last. And what you saw in the game is what he brings to training every day. And he really came in and brought excellent energy to the game. His dynamic movements really put Montreal on their heels. And I thought he was a huge boost. And I couldn't have been happier for him with especially that finish. He showed a lot of poise in the way that he took that goal.
Yeah, let's go back to that goal because it was probably a goal kick that was hit a little bit short by a goalkeeper, and he was the sharpest mentally to get to it. Chest it down, he's off and running. He looks off Giles Barnes and curls it into the far corner. This was a goal of spectacular quality.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely a goal of the week candidate, but I think what was most important about the way he approached that goal and the way he attacked even that goal kick is the way he played without fear. You know, and that's one thing that I think we're, our coaching staff, and we're trying to encourage with our young guys, is to go out and play with no fear. And you even saw that when Alex Lopez came in. You know, he brought a nice element of keeping the team in possession. Chandler Hoffman came in late, and broke them down a couple times, held up a couple balls to bring us up the field, and so it's a positive step. But as we know, there's no rest, there's no break. Every point in every game is critical, especially in the Western Conference.
As you so well know, Matt, that rookies, when they make mistakes, have to have the ability to bounce back from that. He had a little bit of a struggle against Colorado. Let's face it, he had a hard time on the ball first 45 minutes. In the second half, played much better. But I think that's a trait that is one that we have to be impressed by, the fact that after making mistakes, this kid bounces back. He doesn't dwell on them.
Yeah, that's an important element, is especially when you're a young player, is to maintain your confidence, and never get too high or too low, and to stay steady. And that comes with experience. That comes from, getting in the trenches and going to war a little bit. And I think all of our young guys have shown that throughout this year, and that's a trend that we're hoping to continue.
He's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us here. Let's continue the conversation with DC United coming up next. Here's a team that's gathered a lot of points, is coming off what might be their best game of the year, a 2-2 draw with New York.
They're very experienced, very dangerous team. They have a lot of players that are battle-tested, and we know it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a dogfight from start to finish, and we have to be ready.
Speaking of you, and I know Owen Coyle consistently, and we talk about this every week pretty much, it's a redundant question, but every week he's continuing to monitor and say, look, we're still looking for two players. That's in addition to Kubo Torres. Mm-hmm. Where are some of the places, or can you give us any information on where are some of the places you guys are looking? I would assume it's within the league, but it's also outside the league, right?
Well, listen, one thing I can assure you, and anybody that knows me knows that, I'm a very competitive person, and we're always looking to improve. We're always looking to improve, and we're looking at we're looking at a lot of different markets right now. I wouldn't say one, any market that will produce a player that will help us be successful. I do think that the South American markets, the Spanish market, there's a lot of markets that are a good fit for our city. And so those are markets that we continue to look at, but we're looking throughout the world and at every opportunity to improve this team.
Assuming these are attacking players, is that where the basic needs are?
I can't show you all of our cards, but we're looking to improve the team in every position.
You are very diplomatic as well, Mr. Matt Jordan. Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We roll on here tonight. Before we do, quick word for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your season ticket packages to both the Dynamo and the Houston Dash. And Bud Light also reminds you, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium, because there is tremendous international soccer content coming through this diverse city of Houston, Texas, that is full with soccer fans. Gold Cup will be there this summer. We've had a number of Liga MX teams down there as well. So Bud Light reminds you, take in soccer live. Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and international soccer content. Bud Light, huge supporters of the game of soccer and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. All right, let's go to, he is the soccer insider with the Washington Post, one of my favorites who I follow. He is Stephen Goff. Stephen, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Glenn, my pleasure.
What does the life of Goff bring us today? Because you're always doing something interesting.
I don't know. I'm kind of sleepy. I was thinking of a nap.
See, I knew you were going to come up with something very scintillating. It's all that hard work, following scoops and writing articles and bringing opinions.
Well, there was a moment today at RFK Stadium that struck me a bit. I was in the press room minding my own business, and one of the workers walked by, and he was wearing a breathing mask over his face. So I was a little concerned about my health, safety, and welfare at RFK.
Yeah, I wonder about that, too. You always get a lot of people on planes, whether they're sick or they're just using that as a preventative measure.
Oh, I think it's RFK.
Oh, yes, yes. And you've spent a lot of time there. Asbestos?
Yeah, maybe. Might be a little bit, a sprinkling, a dusting.
That is a very old stadium. You know, I played against the old Washington Diplomats. Not the NASL, but I guess it was maybe the ASL or something.
ASL/APSL.
I remember covering Gene Harbor, who was a very big, powerful striker.
Yeah, Bora called him up to the national team when he first took over in the early 90s.
Yeah, Gene Harbor. I had my way with people physically. He was another story. He was on another level. He was a strong man.
Yeah, he's a good one.
All right, let's talk D.C. because the Dynamo head into the nation's capital. 2-2 draw with the New York Red Bulls. Forget the scoreline. Was this one of the best games of the year that D.C. United's produced?
Yeah, I mean, ironically, they played really well. They've kind of survived this early part of the year and scored some very late goals to earn 3 points. That was particularly true in Orlando last week. And then this past weekend, they were pretty good on the ball, pretty well organized, and, you know, they had a 2-0 lead midway through the second half, and it slipped away. They gave up a quick goal, and then couldn't quite hold on at the end. So, it was a bit of a twist in that they performed as well as they have all year all around, but only came away with 1 point at home.
All right. I see Ben Olsen saying, we just didn't manage the game down the stretch, but a lot of positives. All right. Was one of the goals on Hamid? And then tell me why they didn't manage it down the stretch. Was their possession still good? Was it some mental lack of concentration? Why did they not manage this game out? Because they were in a wonderful position here to take a full three.
Yeah, they actually did pretty well. I mean, when New York got the goal back pretty quickly in the 68th to make it 2-1, the momentum started to shift. D.C. seemed to absorb that and was in a good position. So it wasn't like they were under siege for the last 10 minutes by any means. I mean, New York created a few chances, and then, a tricky free kick by Sasha Kljestan. Hamid, who's been just phenomenal out of this world this year, didn't handle it well and left the rebound. So, I don't know if managing was the right way. I think that was Ben's way of taking it easy on Bill, who he knows made a mistake. Just the little things that one moment can do you in, and it was not Bill Hamid's best night. Interestingly, just a day before he got on a plane to San Antonio for the national team duty.
Now, how about Chris Pontius? The health of Chris Pontius, put this in perspective for my listeners of how important his health is to DC United this year.
Very important, because we've seen how good he can be. He has seniority on this team. He's been around the longest. He can score goals. He can create. And he's in great shape right now. He's in good shape. He's in good health. He's finding his rhythm. He's had some chances this year he hasn't put away. He'll admit that. Pontius is going to be in an interesting situation pretty soon, however, because Luis Silva is working himself back to full fitness after missing all preseason and the first three games of the regular season. And Fabian Espíndola comes off suspension, not this weekend, but the following weekend. So that's your top frontline tandem, at least it was last year. And Chris Rolfe has been pretty good on the left flank. And then you got De Leon on the right. So, Pontius's his starting role is not guaranteed by any means. And I would say the same thing about Nick De Leon on the right. There's going to be – they have some options, and that's what Olsen wants.
Is Ben Olsen obviously put together – how do you see the competition for places? I mean, last year here in Houston, I mean, you could pick the lineup every week, and there were just guys that continued to play no matter what. Now it's a completely different story down here. I mean, rookies are getting starts. Rookies are producing. I think everybody's on notice, and I think in a very healthy way, and I think that's a good thing. How do you feel about the depth and the competition with the overall roster of Ben Olsen's DC United?
Well, they're not healthy right now, and so they're a little bit thin. Silva should be back at full strength. You know, he's played 15 minutes in each of the past two games. He'll be at full strength in a few weeks. Spindler comes back, but he'll need some time to get into game rhythm. The Finnish national team player that they signed, Marcus Falsti, who plays in the middle of the park, he hasn't played yet this season because of a sprained knee. He'll be back in a few weeks. And Steve Birnbaum's out with an ankle injury. So, you know, and plus Eddie Johnson, it appears his career is over because of a heart condition. So right now they're not at full strength. When they are, and when they have a little salary cap space cleared, where Eddie Johnson is, you know, I think we'll see a little different team come summer and then heading into late in the season.
What do you think the target is? Is it another attacking player? Is it a striker, you know, with the Eddie Johnson situation? Where's the biggest need for D.C. right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's really hard to say right now. I don't think they can make it a fair assessment until they see Silva and the Spindle on the field together, Halsty as well. You know, Jairo Arrieta has been okay for them as well as a striker. So, you know, there's clearly some depth. I don't know. I don't know what that position is. I don't think they could tell you at the moment either.
All right, let me rephrase the question. If I took you back to the end of last season, what would Stephen Goff say is the biggest need for DC United?
At the end of last year, I would say they needed fundamentally they needed a playmaker, but they did well with Arno and Kitchen as a tandem in the middle. You know, Eddie Johnson did not have a great year last year, so, you know, they could have used a striker. Mm-hmm. But Espíndola and Silva compensated for that. So, that's a tough question. I'm sure if they could afford a bona fide striker, that would be someone in the mix. Or, you know, if things don't work out the way they plan, they might have to go after a playmaker type.
He's Stephen Goff joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. What are your thoughts on the Dynamo from the outside, and what do you think the thoughts are of Ben Olsen with a new manager down here, 11 new players, and what you've seen over the course of their first six games?
Yeah, I think DC does, you know, clearly does not expect the same team they've seen over the years, that same Houston team that gave them so much trouble over the years, just because, you know, Dominic's gone, and you know, things have changed a little bit, and but a lot of the key figures are still there, and these are proven winners, you know, whether, you know, it's Brad Davis or Will Bruin, someone like that. So they, you know, they're wary of Houston. They saw that 3-0 result the other day, and they understand that this is a good team, full of confidence right now, coming to Washington, coming to RFK. You know, United hasn't lost at RFK in any type of competition since last, I think, June 28th. So they've been very good at home, but, you know, they're certainly not invincible, and a team like Houston with some pedigree, with some weapons, and with some confidence can, you know, certainly capable of beating them.
Stephen, as always, thank you very much for your insight tonight on DC United, and we'll keep checking out the Soccer Insider in the Washington Post. Thank you, Stephen.
Excellent. My thanks, Mr. Davis.
Check is in the mail, Stephen.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming on as usual.
Dude, have a good time down in San Antonio.
We'll do. All right, that's Stephen Goff, Washington Post Soccer Insider. Gets a lot of scoops. He's on top of it. I mean, good guy to follow. So check him out on Twitter and any other place you can follow him, and check his readings out at WashingtonPost.com as well. All right, we'll take a break here. Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
All right, joining us now on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, Randy Waldron, the head coach of the Houston Dash. Dash coming off a 2-0 win in their opener against Washington. Let's just start off with the positives here. This is the way you want to start a season in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, having the game at home, you always want to get points at home. You know how important that is to do that. And then I think, you know, coming off of last season, we did want to show the fans that we are different, that we're continuing to build, and we want to show a product that they can be proud of. And hopefully after that performance, they were.
Nice glimpse of Carly Lloyd and Morgan Bryan, and obviously two world-class players that just take it to another level.
Well, I think for sure. You know, Carly's carried, I think, even over the last few months, the U.S. national team. She's kind of carried them when they were going through a rough spell, and it seems like they've kind of got their form back now, so that's great for them. And then Morgan, you can see why she was the number one overall pick. She just looks like a veteran player with years under her belt. And having those two play together with the national team, so there was some familiar movements that they could play off of each other was really beneficial too. Because sometimes when you throw new faces in, you really don't know how it's going to work when you don't have time to train together. But they made it look a lot easier than it was.
I'm thinking you didn't have a problem putting those two into the starting lineup.
They may have been the first two on my list when I filled out the game roster. So they're great players, and I think you're seeing in some ways a little bit of an evolution. You're seeing one of the world stars over the last decade or so with Carly, and then you see probably her replacement for the next decade or so with Morgan. So it's great to have them both together, and everyone could see how important they were. That all the comments I got on social media and things were just raving about those two. But a good, solid overall performance out of everyone. I think, Glenn, the thing I'm most proud of is the way the backs handle things, because it's really a makeshift back line right now. And to get a clean sheet was a great thing for them with their confidence.
He's Randy Waldrum joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. They are off to New Jersey to take on that's Sky Blue up in Jersey. All right, so going back to this game, questions about the back four going into this one. As I look in Major League Soccer at the Kakas and the Robbie Keens, sometimes when these guys are integrated into teams, everybody kind of looks at them for the first five games wondering what they're going to do, as opposed to being confident and playing with them. Was there any sense of that with Carly and Morgan Bryan in the team?
Well, I didn't really sense it. You know, I worried about that before the game because, as you said, you just don't know how it's going to work when you put new faces in that literally only train with us a day or so. But I think the way they played and the way their position requires them to be so integrated in what the whole team does, I don't think you saw any of that with us. You know, I think everybody contributed, and I think what it did is it elevated the confidence level of the players around them. I mean, we did some things playing out of the back and out of these flank areas and some really tight spaces that I normally would get gray hairs over, and they just, you know, buzzed right through these little two- or three-player combinations and got out of trouble. Just like they've been playing together for a long time. So I think it's something really positive for us to build on going forward.
Yeah, talk about the sort of the build-up play and how you want that to happen this year. And obviously that's going to change when you don't have Carly Lloyd and Morgan Bryan, because these are two of the best passers of a ball in the world.
Well, I think a couple things. I think one, tactically, our shape may change a little bit when they're not here. Because they are so special, you can play three in midfield like we did, and they can handle it, you know. But when they're gone, we may have to look at some formations at times where we have a four- or five-player midfield in there. We'll see what best suits us when they're not here, you know. So we've worked on a couple of different formations in preseason just for that reason. But I think, you know, in terms of losing those players, it's going to be, you know, it's important that we try to get as many points as we can while we have them here. But I think if we can continue to build on Friday's game with them, then I think hopefully even when they're gone, the confidence level of the team will be high. And I think the players, when you talk to them, they feel pretty confident about our roster even without them compared to where we were this time last year. So I think it's only going to grow in confidence. You know, that doesn't get you results alone, but I think it certainly helps us.
All right, Piscataway, New Jersey. You're going to be playing at Rutgers. Beautiful field there, your check field. Sky blue. Does much change from the way you played here at home as opposed to the way you may play on the road down there, or is it maybe a similar way you approach it?
Well, I'd like to try to keep it similar. You know, I think sometimes on the road you have to be a little bit more conservative, and sometimes teams, you know, want to drop a little deeper and be a little bit more defensive-minded. But I've always wanted to set a standard here with us of being an aggressive team, you know, so I'd like to take the same mindset that we had at home and be able to take it on the road. I think Sky Blue – you know, how we start the first 15 minutes will dictate whether we can continue to do that. And also how much pressure we can put on them, you know, by the way we want to play, I think will be important. So I'm not sure that we'll be able to play exactly like, you know, we may have to drop a little bit deeper with our first line of confrontation and be a little bit more conservative. But I think we got the players that really like to get after it, you know, and I'd rather do that if we could. We had a pretty good run up there last year, you know. One of our big wins, our only really big 3-0 win was up there last year. And then, of course, they came here and did the same thing to us late in the year. So they had a big result yesterday, you know, against Kansas City. I think that was a big surprise to everybody. So organizationally, they're going to be a difficult team to break down.
All right, Jess McDonald from Portland. This is a good acquisition. This was a goal scorer.
Yeah, you know, and I think the fans could see even Friday night, there was a couple times, I think, just her first touch let her down, you know, where she kind of got in behind and had too heavy of a first touch. But I think they could see her around the box, you know, her presence in the air and her strength. And, you know, Glenn, as you know, when you walk up beside her and see her, she's a big kid too, you know. She's got some size and strength on her. She's a little bit of an imposing character. So she's going to create havoc for a lot of defenses this year as we go through the league.
All right. I know how much time and energy you put into trying to grow the women's game. I mean, it's almost like you got two jobs here. You're not only trying to put a team together to compete in the NWSL, but you're also trying to promote the league. How much time do you spend on that? I think it may be every waking moment.
You know, it's a lot. And to be honest with you, I probably ought to do less of trying to promote it and worry more about just the team part of it. But, you know, I can't help that. I've been in this, you know, on the women's side for almost 20 years now, just in the women's game. And I see the potential of it, and I've seen the growth over those years. And I just, you know, I want it. When you're around this team and this league and these young ladies, and even at the collegiate level for that matter, you just see how much energy and passion they put into it and how committed they are. And they just deserve to be like the Dynamo. They deserve to have 20,000 people in that stadium, you know. And so hopefully one day before too long, we're doing that. And that's why I'm so passionate about trying to continue to help promote and find ways to get people out and get our message out there that we do have a good product. And hopefully those that came for the first time Friday saw something that they said, you know what, I'll be back. You know, this was entertaining. I'll be back for this. So that's the message that we're trying to get out.
All right. On that note, there's a lot of generational turnover that's occurred with kids that grew up with great youth soccer experiences, that have had great college experiences, that are now adults. They're in high-paying jobs. They're lawyers. They're doctors. They're doing a lot of different things. Why are they not supporting this league and the women's game more? Because there's a lot of them out there.
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. And I think that's the kind of folks that we really need to tap into. And I don't know if those people, if it's just that once their kids got out of it, then they stopped staying involved with it, you know, because I know those were the same parents that when their kids were playing under 12 or under 14, they were at every game, they had all the gear, they were traveling to all the tournaments with them. And I don't know if those are the folks that, even though they grew up playing the game, once that their kids got out of it, if they just went back to their professional lives. But that's a group that we've really got to tap into. I think you see more of that group getting involved with our national teams that will come out to those games and kind of support it, because that's not a every weekend support kind of thing for them. But I think all the MLS clubs and definitely all the NWSL clubs need to see more of those fans actively get involved. And I think it's, Glenn, I think it's the fan that thinks soccer is here and it's okay, you know, that there's no threat of a league not surviving. And I think back, as you and I can remember, with the MLS getting started, those first 5 or 6 years, there was a lot of worry about how long will the teams be here. And we lost a couple of franchises, and it was kind of a hit and miss. Well, now I think that league is obviously stabilized and is here. But I think a lot of people think the same of the NWSL. Well, okay, we've got a pro league. We've got a women's league. Great. But they don't realize how much we need them to get out and support it to make sure we last this test of time like the MLS did. And so I think these next couple of years are still going to be vitally important that we get that message out to those people to get out and buy a ticket, even if they can't come to the game. Buy it and donate it to a boys' club or a girls' club or underprivileged kids. Or find some charity, but at least buy the tickets, because this league's got something special to offer, and we need this one, being the third league, you know, to come around. We need this one to survive.
You alluded to Major League Soccer. They were on life support in and around 2000. There's no question about it. That's a pretty strong word, life support. But how precarious of a position is the NWSL in right now?
Well, all indications that I get back from information that we get from the league is that we're in a really good place. I heard with the commissioner at the meetings this week that we're here in Houston. Somebody asked him the question about it, and he said, I can tell you we'll be back playing games in Houston next year. So that's a good sign, you know, that it looks like we're going to get beyond that third year at least, which has been kind of the nemesis year for each of the other two pro leagues. But I don't think it's a license to say, okay, you're here, they're here to stay, you know, and for folks to just say, I'll go when I can or support it. I think we still need to, you know, I read after Portland's game this weekend, they had 11 or 12,000 at their game, which was more than two of the MLS teams in the women's game. We need more of the Portlands around. And we know that's an anomaly. That's a unique situation. But there's no excuse. We can't be putting 8 or 10,000 into our stadium every weekend as well. And once we start getting more teams to get those numbers up, you know, Kansas City had a great crowd, over 7,000 at their game, and we had over 6,000 at ours. So as soon as we start putting more and more of those kind of numbers together, the stability of the league will start to firm up.
Randy, as always, thank you for your time. Best of luck against Sky Blue. We look forward to your next visit.
All right, Glenn. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
That's the head coach of the Houston Dash, Randy Waldrum. They are off to take on Sky Blue this weekend in New Jersey. We'll take a break now.
Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. The first pig built his house out of straw, but termites ate it up. The second pig built his house out of sticks, but the termites ate it up also. The third little pig was smart, and he built his house out of bricks. But even brick houses have a ton of wood in them, and so the termites ate up his house too. The moral of the story is I want to kill termites. If you own a home or business or even just have a big old pile of wood, please call McGrath Pest Control at 281-469-8240 or visit McGrathPestControl.com and allow us the privilege of inspecting, treating, or preventing a termite invasion. Don't let my all shucks persona fool you. McGrath Pest Control is a bug annihilating machine. We're the best in the business and take tremendous pride in our work. McGrathPestControl.com, 281-469-8240. For a good time, follow us on Twitter at McGrath Pest. No pigs were injured in this production.
All right, we always bring you good stories here about local successes. And Aaron Moorhead joining us right now, left at 17 years of age here in Houston. Of course, your parents, Ron and Edith Moorhead, soccer time down in Pasadena. Left at 17 years of age to become a physio in England, work with the Blackpool Football Club over there in the Scottish Women's National Team. Aaron, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks very much for having me today.
All right, so how does a 17-year-old decide to head off to England to become a physio and get involved in a very male-dominated sport over there?
Well, you know what? I actually started playing soccer myself whenever I was only 5 years old. It's one of the reasons my parents actually started the soccer store here in Texas. I managed to graduate high school a year early, but I didn't feel ready to go to university, so I decided to do an exchange program. Always been into, you know, football, soccer my whole life, so where better to go on an exchange program than over to the United Kingdom? So I signed up and I went and did a semester abroad over in the UK when I was only 17. It was while I was over there that I decided I had had an injury myself when I was playing soccer and got rehabilitated and was able to get back to sport through physical therapy. And so I was thinking I might want to do physical therapy. And out of all of the places I could have got, you know, families I could have been hosted by, I was hosted by a family whose daughter was a physical therapist there in England. And so I actually spent some time with her and decided that that was the path I wanted to take. And to my parents' shock, I applied to go to physical therapy school while I was on the exchange program and to go to university there in England to study physical therapy.
All right. Take me how you get picked or you get the opportunity now to work with Blackpool, because I think you're a bit of a harbinger. I see some female physios now on the sidelines for a lot of teams. But I think at the time you're doing it, it's pretty groundbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, especially when I started, because that was quite a long time ago now, there weren't many female physical therapists at all actually working in the male environment, especially not in football. So I was really lucky whenever I was studying there in England. I actually made sure that every week and every weekend I went and did work experience. So I went and did work experience with Liverpool Football Club. I went and did some work experience with Blackpool Football Club while I was studying. As soon as I graduated, I actually just contacted Blackpool Football Club and said, could I come down and volunteer? And they said, we would love to have you come in and do some work with us. I was there for a month, and their physiotherapist, who was actually working with the academy, got offered a job elsewhere. And they said, would you stay on and work with us? 3 years later, I was still there working with them, with both the academy and then had worked my way up to the reserves and the first team there at Blackpool.
She's Erin Moorhead. All right, so how challenging was it? I mean, did you get tested by the players? I mean, look, this is the reality of the situation. How challenging was it? And was it difficult in the beginning?
You know what? Absolutely. I'll have to say, you know, when you come in, I was a 21-year-old female, you know, going straight in, working, like I said, in a male-dominated environment. I'll have to say, although players, you know, occasionally might have had a little bit of a laugh and joke with you, as soon as you showed them that you actually had the skills and they saw that actually she knew what she was doing, you know, she was helpful and, you know what, I'm getting better from this injury, they got on boards and actually they took you serious. And they still had a laugh and a joke with you, but they actually realized that, you know, you were serious and you could do the job and you had every right to be there. So I was really welcomed in Blackpool. And, you know, I worked under a number of different managers and everyone, you know, as soon as you were able to show them you had the skills and you were serious, they really, like I said, they warmed up to me and, you know, overcame those sort of barriers and really enjoyed my time there.
Well, Blackpool is interesting too because they elected to hire you. The pressures of taking care of the assets of a professional football club. I mean, this is not for the faint of heart. This is very important because a lot of times you're going to be judged on how quickly you can get players back on the field, assessing injury, et cetera, et cetera.
No, absolutely. I think one thing that helped is the fact that I was a player myself and that, you know, I'd played since I was young. I'd had an injury, and so I knew about the sport. I think that was the other thing is they realized I wasn't a female who just randomly came in one day and just wanted to, you know, hang around, you know, the guys. They realized I knew the sport. I was passionate about the sport, and I wanted them to get back on the pitch just as much as they did. And I think that helps, you know, with the situation as well as they, like I said, the understanding, you know, and previously playing. I could get out there with them, you know, when we're doing rehab sessions, and I could kick the ball about, and they're like, oh, right, okay, she knows what she's doing.
Erin, thank you so much for your time. She's now a professor. Just mention where you're teaching, and we appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm actually now a professor at the University of Central Lancashire. I lecture in physical therapy and sports therapy, which is like athletic training. And I've just completed my doctorate. I've been working with the English Premier League physiotherapist. We're trying to develop a functional screening tool in football. And that's currently my research project and interest there in England.
Erin, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Erin Moorhead, the daughter of Ron and Edith Moorhead, soccer time down in Pasadena. We'll take a break here.
All right, that'll do it for tonight. But before I let you go, let's just have a moment here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you that you can be a part of the great soccer that comes through Houston, Texas. You can go down to BBVA Compass Stadium, and Bud Light reminds you, you got the Houston Dynamo. The Houston Dash is your hometown team. You've got international content. And Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you can get your season tickets, where you can get ticket packages, find out all about the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. Bud Light, great supporters of the game of soccer here. They are also the official sponsor of Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM Dynamo All Access. And I'll remind you to follow me. It's Glenn Davis Sock, SOC, on Twitter, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there, like us, friend us. We'd appreciate that. And let's continue to push the great game of soccer forward here with great soccer conversation. For producer Erin Raybould, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.